He looked at me then, an up-and-down assessment, so that I couldn't help but feel that he was judging me, fitting me into whatever it was he knew of the Bajanals' troubled history.
He died a long time ago.
Neither of us spoke for a minute, Savage leaning down to rub a crumb of muck from his shoe with a stick he had picked up off the ground.
You could drop in on your way back to Dublin, he remarked. It wouldn't be much of a detour.
And proceeded with a detailed itinerary of the minor roads that led to the estate. I didn't comment, and if he saw the sudden change in my demeanour, nerves rushing to the surface, he didn't comment. His farewell to me was delivered in a deadpan tone.
Mind yourself,
he said. I did not intend going back. To this day, I'm not sure why I did. A seed of curiosity planted by Savage's suggestion, perhaps, but that alone could not have been enough to drive me back to a place I had once sworn of forever. The challenge of it rose in my mind as I drove alone through roads flanked with cow parsley and gorse, one eye on the sat-nav, nervy at the knowledge that the house was close by, niggled by the sense that I should test myself by just taking a quick look to see if it still held the same power over me that I remembered as a girl. It had been so long. Rachel and I had lost touch years ago. I'd heard she was living in London. It wasn't difficult for me to picture her married to a stockbroker, a rich divorcee, living in Kensington or Primrose Hill, childless from what I had heard. Patrick, I knew, had taken over the running of the estate while the rest of his peers were at university, and even though our paths hadn't crossed since leaving school, I was still curious about him and Rachel, about the house. The estate, though large, was well off the beaten track, and by the time I found the old granite pillars that marked the entrance, it was getting on in the day, and I needed to get back to HQ. Still, I'd come too close not to take a quick look. The memory of the warm yellow stone crawling with ancient wisteria and roses, those gracious rooms beyond, lured me nervously through the gateless pillars against my better judgment, along the curving road, tussocky grass growing in a furrow along the centre. My first clue, all was not well, was the sight of a car that appeared to have been driven off the avenue and into a shallow ditch. It was an old VW Golf, whose registration plates and wheels had been removed. The bonnet was buckled and twisted where it met with the wide solid trunk of an old beech tree. Weeds grew within the car's interior, visible through the passenger door, which was slightly ajar. The windows remained intact, but were smudged with moss and sap and the littered seed from overhanging branches. I slowed to survey the scene before continuing past the overgrown rhododendrons to where the avenue rounded onto the front garden leading up to the house. What I remembered of the front lawn was a clipped expanse of grass rolling down to the driveway and a striped marquee pinned to the ground in front of the house for Patrick's party. What a shock it was now to turn the corner and find the grass grown coarse and long, balding in places. An ugly fence had been erected around the perimeter, as if at one stage livestock had been grazing here. But worse than that was the state of the house beyond. The sash windows, with their bevelled glass panes twinkling in the sun, were sagging and cracked, paint peeling off their frames. In some cases, the glass had been removed and the gaps patched up with plywood. Ivy had grown thick and wild across one side of the house, hanging low over the windows or shorn back sharply over others, as if someone had made an effort to clip it back but then lost interest and given up. There was still beauty in the tangled rose that was just coming into bloom over the southwest corner of the house, and the contours of the building retained something of their former majesty and grandeur. And yet it felt, as I pulled the car up in front of the main entrance, that the house was slowly surrendering to decay. I had a flash of Mrs. Bajanal, Rachel and Patrick's mother, her elegant hands and neatly set hair, standing proudly at the door to welcome her.